Greetings and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, host of this podcast show. If you are trapped in an unhealthy habit or worried about somebody else's, this show is for you. If you feel out of control about this, you're probably used to covering up your feel bad with the look good. Well, Habits into Health programs, including this free podcast, are a great place to start. We are all about dealing with problem habits and practicing new ways to dissolve those fears so you can start feeling just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Imagine that. And if you're already creating your future, you will hear things in this podcast that will help you stay on track. So welcome aboard. Lately, we've been focusing on what to do if you're hurting because of someone else's problem habit. Maybe you're worried about your kid, even if they're an adult. Perhaps you or your spouse or partner have some differences that have to do with behavior that creates problems and pain. You might have another family member, perhaps a parent or a sibling, a cousin, your uncle, someone who's just not fun to be around. Or you might be concerned about a friend or a neighbor, and maybe you have to deal with an unhealthy behavior at work with a coworker, boss, or customer that you just have to deal with. No matter what the behavior is itself, if it's habitual and you're hurting over it, Habits into Health offers inspiration, information, and we have some actions that'll help you create some hope for something new. I like to start with action first, because while inspiration and information help, changing old behavior calls for new behavior, and that is something to practice. We're much more likely to be motivated to change because of experiences that impact us on a feeling level. And that's why in every episode of this podcast, we include an experiential exercise to support you in creating your personal path to change. In Habits into Health, we say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. And then you get to practice stepping away from your busy mind and slowing down by connecting with your body. As I often say, these exercises grow on themselves, and that means the more that you give to each practice, the more it gives back to you. Noticing is a very important first step in slowing down because it cools down stress responses and the anxiety and that mental agitation called monkey mind. A lot of times in meditations or in guided imageries, the leader will invite you to make yourself comfortable or maybe, for instance, put your feet on the floor, something like that. Take a few deep breaths. And sometimes we do that here, but for today, let's start with attending to what is. And by not changing anything, because there's actually nothing that you need to fix or correct. Here we go. Just let your attention go to your face right now. And feel something about your face that stands out. Something that's making itself apparent. Could be as simple as an itch. Maybe you have a sore spot or a pimple or something that's saying hello. You could have a sense of pressure somewhere, or even just the simple feeling of the air on your skin. And if you find yourself trying to figure out where you feel something or wondering what I mean, then let your attention go to your forehead, above or behind your eyes, between your eyes, around each temple, to the side of your eyes. You don't have to do anything with it. Just notice this part of you. Next, if you can, free up one hand and bring it to your cheek. Just notice on a continuum from cold to hot the temperature that you feel. You know, cold on the one end, and then maybe just cool or warm or really heated. And as you hold your hand there, does it change? You might find that it changes even without you doing anything other than just holding your hand there. And while you're at it, let's check in with your experience of this cheek on a range from dry to wet. You're holding your hand there. Is your cheek bone dry or parched? Damp? Do you feel moist? Is there moisture between your hand and your cheek? Or is your skin very wet for one reason or another? Maybe you've been tearful. Or you've just come out from walking in the rain. Now on a continuum of tension, what do you notice here? From very pressured, tight, or very light or loose? Just feel your hand on your cheek and notice the tension there. You could notice the tension in your hand. You could also notice the tension in your cheek. And you don't have to make any meaning about this right now. The practice here is simply to notice. You could even move your hand to different parts of your face and notice any differences there. What's your experience of temperature? Maybe put your hand on your forehead, around your temple. What's your experience of moisture or tension? And as you notice this experience of temperature, moisture, or tension, what happens in your experience of your whole self? What occurs when you attend to this level of reality? It's a level of reality that most of us aren't attentive to, and yet it exists, doesn't it? And then, what is it like to just notice these things without having any goal, any need to make something of it or do something with it? Being with this is a practice in itself. And in dealing with any habit, whether it's your own or someone else's, the willingness to be with what is, without the need to change anything, paradoxically, is an important part of creating successful habit change. Because you can't change what you don't know. And if you don't hang out with what is, you're not going to know it well enough to address what wants to change about it. Let's keep this inside ourselves as we proceed. If this approach to knowing yourself engages you, you can always listen to other episodes by searching for Habits Into Health on iTunes or going to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu. If you like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/habits.into.health, you'll get a link to this podcast when it's published. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I host the show and all of the Habits Into Health programs. If you want to take your habit change to another level, then come to habitsintohealth.com, and in the right sidebar, you can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire to get you started. Okay, lately we've been talking about how to deal with it when somebody else's behavior creates problems and pain for you. In the last episode, we talked about something I call keeping your own side of the street clean. Basically, this means that no matter what, you choose to take the high road when dealing with the other person. I'm not going to say it's easy, because sometimes other people's behavior is just over the top. But I do know that if you can keep yourself from going over the top with them, with your own energy, attitude, and behavior, you'll feel much better about yourself in the long run. And I can say that from experience. Last time I promised to discuss why it's so important to announce your intentions as a part of keeping your side of the street clean. I call it talk before you walk. And it doesn't have to take too long. In fact, it's not about creating a discussion with the other person at all. So you want to keep your announcement brief. The thing is, by the time someone else's behavior is bugging you, there's probably a history. I mean, any one of us can get out of line, right? We could do something that gets in the way of communication or builds walls. And we all do this from time to time. None of us is perfect. So maybe the first time your other person lied to you or stole money from your purse or snuck into the refrigerator at night when they promised to stay on their diet, watched porn, didn't call to say they were going to be late, or even just criticized you or put you down. Maybe that once, maybe you didn't even really notice it much at all, or if you did, you looked the other way. That's pretty common, isn't it? Most of the time, most of us don't want to start a fight, and we don't want to be in a fight. Even after a second time, maybe you just noticed it to yourself, and even though it bothered you, you bit your lip, like the saying goes, and you didn't say anything. I've done that, haven't you? You just hope that they'll stop on their own or something. So you tell yourself to wait. Wait and see what happens. But what about the third or the fourth or even the 20th time? Or whenever? At some point it gets old, and you might start thinking about what you're going to say and when you're going to say it. Or what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. I'm thinking about a long time ago when I had a friend who had a lot of experiences with people who had cheated on her in some way or another. Stealing things, charging too much, lying in some way. And at first it seemed that her stories were occasional, every now and then, relatively minor. And who was I to contradict her experience? After all, I wasn't there, was I? But eventually I came to realize that she expected that other people were not to be trusted. They were out to get her. And of course, I was a friend, and then I started to notice how frequently she was warning me about the people whom I shouldn't trust, because they were probably out to get me too. Whether your person smokes too much, and that's whether it's legal or not, or drinks more than you like, or yells at the kids, refuses to pick up after themselves or do the dishes, what do you do? The problem is you could also get stuck forever in not saying anything, but it's likely you'll still convey that you're unhappy, even if what you're thinking or feeling isn't obvious. And a lot of times what we end up doing is just justify our own behavior when we're affected, either quietly like that, you know, waiting it out game or withdrawing, or more loudly by being resentful or irritable and frustrated about things. Just not talking about the thing itself. Either way, whether you realize it or not, it gets easy to say that it's the other person's fault, which then gives you a reason to throw some of your feelings or your trash over to their side of the street. Create a mess over there, you know. But you say, they're doing this thing, and this thing they do is throwing their stuff over onto me, throwing their trash at me. What about that? And all this is happening before anything is being said at all, probably. Now, I happened to spend some of my childhood in Tombstone, Arizona, in the USA, where that world-famous fight at the OK Corral happened between the Earp and Clanton gangs long before our time. And it seems to me you're walking along your side of the street with a loaded gun, and no good is going to come out of it. On the other hand, maybe all you've got is ammunition, and you're throwing those bullets over to your friend on that other side, just waiting for them to load up and fire across your bow. Well, I'm mixing up my metaphors here by going from the desert of Arizona to the high seas, but you get what I mean. Based on my own experience, I can tell you that you probably won't be happy with blasting your other person with your mouth, a fist, or definitely a gun. You might not be happy with staying silent either and acting like nothing is happening. This is mostly because when we underdo or overdo, we end up feeling disappointed in the results with the other person and also with how we handle things. And it only creates more unhappiness. Does this sound familiar? What's key, though, is to separate the results that occur with the other person from how we handled ourselves. Because we can't control anybody else. The best we can do is influence them. But they still have to participate in that. And we're not in control over whether they'll agree to be influenced or whether they'll agree to participate in any way. This is going to be true whether their habit is small and not bothersome to anybody but you, or if it's something so out of control that it has everybody in town up in arms. Talk before you walk is the high road, because ultimately, even if the situation with the other person ends up being disappointing or painful, it's so important that you're satisfied with how you handled yourself. More likely than not, you'll be disappointed if you withdraw, avoid, or run away, or if you become aggressive and pick a fight. Think about the times that you've done that in the past. There are some exceptions where your personal safety is at risk, and taking care of yourself and your needs means removing yourself without talking. But in most cases, if it's come to that, then it's likely you have been trapped for a lot longer than the early warning signals I'm talking about. And certainly, you don't want to initiate any aggression, no matter what the situation, and no matter how right you may feel about your position. In my own life, ultimately, the times I was not attentive to early signs of problems were opportunities for learnings, and I hope that's true for you as well. So first of all, don't initiate any throwing of your trash to the other person's side of the street. No bad-mouthing, name-calling, or whining. If you mess up, apologize quickly and follow up by not doing it again. Let's get specific about talk before you walk. it's actually fairly simple because there isn't a big long script to remember. First, in preparation, you might want to talk to yourself and get very specific. What is it about the other person's behavior that's troubling and causing you concern? Make this literal, meaning observable. For example, she doesn't pick up her clothes. Instead of, she doesn't care about me because she leaves her clothes around. Or, he stays out until midnight 3 nights a week with his friends. Instead of, he stays out all the time. Or, third example, when she has more than 2 drinks, she slurs her words. Instead of, she's a sloppy drunk. Doing this helps you clarify your reality. And it may come handy down the road when you need to say something specific. If necessary, check in with friends. They can help you sort it out. Rather than talking with them in which you just get into a mutual whining conversation, or they're being angry along with you. Or get yourself into a support group or therapy so you have a place to do some reality checking and get clear about what you're observing. Second, you want to prepare yourself to exit after you do your talk. And basically, this is a safety thing. If your friend becomes drunk after 2 drinks, then take care of your own transportation so that you can leave. If you're dealing with a situation and it's at home and you may need to exit, even if it's just for 15 minutes, then you'll want to know the location you're in. Sometimes we can be taken by surprise. That happened to me a few years ago when I was visiting and I was in an area I didn't know, and I certainly didn't expect to need cab money to remove myself. Fortunately, I wasn't in physical danger, but it was certainly very trying emotionally. Now, third, in the situation itself, talk before you walk. It's not a discussion, just a statement. It might be something like, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back in a while. And then walk. Don't just say you're going to leave, like threatening to leave, and then not do it. And just getting up and stomping out isn't an option either. It's not a high road position because it gives the other person ammunition. Walking can be very simple. It could be going into another room, walking around the block, leaving to do another activity like being with friends, running errands, going to a cafe or a library. And if you're in a situation where you can't do this, like you're in a moving car, or in my example, where the location I was in was unfamiliar, then you can do what I did. I said, I don't want to fight with you. And I refused to argue. Or you could say, I'm not going to get into that right now. And pick up a book or a magazine to read or your mobile device and occupy yourself, even though you're not leaving the room. You're still announcing your intentions. In the scene with my friend who was projecting her own distrust, it was initially friendlier, and I just said, I know this is your reality, but it's not the way I deal with most situations. I'd appreciate it if you kept your advice to yourself. Eventually, when she didn't stop, I had to say, don't go there. I'm not going there with you. The other person may send trash your way. My friend got up and walked out. It was the beginning of the end of our friendship. But I knew I didn't have to pick up the trash that she sent me. You don't have to fight either. Even if the situation ends badly, you will feel a lot better about yourself if you announce your intentions and then follow through. In the next few episodes, we'll continue to talk about this, and I'll discuss how communications can misfire when you're not on the same page as your other person. After all, they may not agree that their habit is a problem, or they may not even see that it creates problems for you. So it's time for me to sign off for now. If someone you know has a habit that creates problems for you, then, you know, you might have developed some habits of your own in response. And my free self-assessment questionnaire can help. You can also come to habitsintohealth.com, find other podcasts and articles and resources. And they can help you turn these patterns around. Remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over those unhealthy habits, to stop wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. thanks so much for joining me.